has joined.
Good evening, Malcolm.
Anna
has joined.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Please join me in saying the Anabakoa.
Let me mute.
Anabakoa, Gedula Chimincha, Tati, Serura, Alapekinel, Yutap Sadi, Kabil Rinat. Amcha sagbeinu taharenu nora ufreshayan sintet nun. Nagibor dorsheyechutka kevavat shamrem. Nun gimel dalet yudkav shim. Barhem tacharem, rachame sukatcha, tamid gamlem, betet reish, savitach imo. Hasin kadosh, berov tucha, nael adata, ekufet, nunayim. Yachid geyeh, lamcha p'nei, zokre kidushata, yud gimel amet, pei zayin ku. Shavateinu kabel, ushma tziyakateinu, yodea talumot, shinku, sadi yuta. And the eighth verse of the Koach we say in a whisper. It's the 29th day of
Av. Has joined.
And we continue with the different meditations associated with the becoming a mensch prior to becoming holy. Ruach Hayim, which is a name of a sage who wrote a book called Ruach Hayim, the Soul of Chaim. And he says, number one, it is beneficial to occasionally distance yourself from human company in order to meditate. Number two, even when you are alone and no man sees you, strive to act like a man, for Hashem sees all. The first teaching reminds us of hitbodidut, a technique perfected by Rabbi Nachman of Breslov and his Chassidim. In his Sefer Likudei Mahoran, Tinyana, set aside time each day to meditate and pray alone in a room or some meadow and express your innermost thoughts and feelings and your personal prayers to Hashem. Use every kind of appeal and argument. Use words that will endear you to Hashem and win his favor. Plead with Hashem to draw you closer and let you truly serve him. This is hitbodidut. You should hold these conversations in whatever language you speak best. Our set prayers are said in Hebrew, but if this is not one's native language, it is difficult to use it to give expression to all one's innermost thoughts and feelings, and the heart is less drawn after the words. It is easier to pour out your heart and say everything you need in your own language. You should tell Hashem everything you feel, be it contrition and longing to repent over the past, or requests and supplications to come truly close to Hashem from now on. Each person according to his level. Be very careful to get into the habit of spending time every day on your personal prayers and your meditations. Fix a regular time for this, and then be happy for the rest of the day. Hitbodidut is of the greatest value. It is the way to come closer to Hashem, because it includes everything else. No matter what you lack in your service of Hashem, even if you feel totally remote from his service, tell Hashem everything and ask him for all that you need. If at times you find yourself unable to speak to Hashem, or even unable to open your mouth, the very fact that you are there before him, wanting and yearning to speak, is itself very good. You can even turn your very inability to speak into a prayer. Tell Hashem that you feel so far away that you cannot even speak to him. Ask him to have mercy on you and open your mouth to tell him what you need. Many great and famous tzaddikim have said that all their achievements came only through hitbodidut. Anyone with understanding can recognize the supreme value of this practice, which ascends to the most sublime heights. This advice applies to everyone equally, from the very least to the very greatest. Everyone is capable of practicing it and can attain great levels. Happy are all who persist in it. It is also good to turn Torah teachings into prayers. When you study or hear a teaching of the true tzaddik, make a prayer out of it. Ask Hashem when you too will be able to fulfill this teaching. Tell him how far from it you are, and beg him to help you attain everything that is contained in the lesson. A person of understanding who wants the truth will be led by Hashem in the path of truth, and he will learn how to practice hitbodidut and offer words of grace and sound arguments to persuade Hashem to bring him to true service. Pit Bodhidut rises to a very high level. This applies especially to turning Torah teachings into prayers, which creates the greatest delight above. Pit Bodhidut is the highest level. It is greater than everything. Number two, and while we are alone with Hashem, we should behave as in the presence of the King. Walk modestly with your Creator. This is a verse from the prophet Micah. A staple of Jewish life is modesty. In the way we walk down the street, in the way we interact with others, and in the way we dress. As God's children, we must act and look the part, conducting ourselves with dignity and modesty. Modesty does not mean a denial of self, nor does it force us into hiding. Rather, it creates a private area, a dignified space, in which we can work to excel without concern for external judgment and approval. And even when we are alone in the most private of places, we must also be appropriately dressed, for there is no place where Hashem is not present. Let's do the Ma meditation. And through the gematria values, through the number 130, all the different numbers from 20, 26, 39, and 45, and 26, 39, and 45 add
has up joined
to 130, and all of the meaning of climbing the ladder, which is Sulam, Gematria 130, Mount Sinai, where we received the Torah, and so many other connections. Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud. Yud hey, Yud hey wav, Yud hey wav hey Yud, Yud hey, Yud hey wav, Yud hey wav hey. We are now going to connect to the energy of certainty through the use of the tool of a verse from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. This verse comes from Parashat Yitro. It's known as Pasuk 29, and we will first say L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud, Kudsha Barichu, Ishkim Tei, Bitilu, Urchimu, Utkilu, Utkilu, Urchimu, Le'achda, L'shem, Yud Hei Bavavhe, V'yichuda, Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah mitzvah, Lasok Torah mitzvah, Vayihino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu maasei yadeinu konenei aleinu maasei yadeinu konenei. Rabbi Abba Amar Bekama Atar Tane Nandeku Shabarichu Koma Deaved Le'ela Wetata Kolaihu Kishot Biovada Dikshot Belaid La Mila Bialma Divai Ruach Yaleya Mine Yaulan Haga Beya Kalana Tehakulu Ovada Big Shot Inun Wicko Light Spirit Be Alma. The energy of the year 5781, this coming year, that starts in a month, this coming year, that has the energy of redemption, providing we are ready to be redeemed, providing we are doing our work. In studying Isaiah chapter 66, verse 21, we are connecting to the energy of this coming year, this year of redemption, and we are preparing ourselves to be redeemed. Ehem ekach lakohanim lalevim. Amar Hashem. And also will I take for the priests and for the Levites, says Hashem. The names of the Tzaddikim who chose to leave this day, the 29th day of Av, which is known as Yom Kippur Katan. Rabbi Yosef Zundel Salanter. Rabbi Salanter is connected to the Musar movement. This is the movement that has us working on ourselves, striving to become better today than we were yesterday. Rabbi Menachem Mendel Alter. Rabbi Eliezer Susha and Rabbi Yisrael Abraham from Portugal. Stefan Ishter Rebbe. Here's a story about this Tzaddik. He has a relative, a diamond dealer, who was walking to the train station in order to get to a very important business meeting. As he passed by the Skulener Bet Hamidrash, a man asked him to help the Skulener Rebbe, Rebbe Eliezer Susha from Portugal, complete a minyan for Shachri. The diamond dealer, who of course had already davened, responded that he was in a hurry, but the man convinced him to stay and help the Rebbe's minyan. He walked into the shul and saw that they were still short of the required 10 for a minyan, but he was there already, so he stuck around. They finally gathered the required 10 men and started to daven at the Rebbe's usual deliberate pace. The man kept glancing at his watch and realized that he was going to miss his important business meeting. At this point, he couldn't leave and ruin the minyan, so he stayed. To make a long story short, he missed his important meeting. However, that day turned out to be his most successful day in business ever. Despite missing this important meeting, Reb Shlomo Mandel concluded, After a shacharit with the Skulina Rebbe, of course it was his most successful day in business. Our last day is the last day from the Rebbe that deals with the parasha of Shoftim. You will find the handout on the matrix in row 14, the second column from the left. That will open up to a landing page with the writings of the Ari and other Sadiqim. Please scroll down to Parashah Shoftim and open up the third link under Shoftim, which is Protect Yourself for Peace. It's important to recognize the four, F-O-R. We will start with L'Shem Yichud. L'Shem Yichud Kudsha Barichi Baruchhe Barichu Ishkinte Bichilu Urchimu Udhilu Udhilu Urchimu Le'akta L'Shem Yudhe Bovavhe Le'Yichuda Shalim B'Shem Kol Yisrael Le'imud Torah Mitzvah La'Sok Torah Mitzvah Vayhino Amadonai Eloheinu Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kerneh Aleinu Maaseh Yadeinu Kernehu. Protect yourself for peace. We are enjoined to discipline our senses, to preserve our own and others' peace. The portion of the Torah read this week begins with the commandment, the mitzvah. Appoint judges and policemen in all your gates, which Hashem your God gives you, according to your tribes, that they may judge the people equitably. Although it is not evident in modern Hebrew, the imperative appoint, as well as the possessive pronouns of your and you, are in the singular. Why is this mitzvah phrased in the singular rather than the plural? You're in the gates, implying that there's a city, implying there's more than one. So why is it addressed to the individual Jew? Every individual Jew has several gates. We heard in the name of the esteemed Rabbi Chaim Vital of righteous memory that this is so in order to indicate that every individual Jew has several gates. These are the gates of sight, the eyes, the gates of hearing, the ears, the gate of speech, the mouth, the gate of smell, the nose, the gate of touch, the hands and feet. It's an interesting order of listing the various senses. That was an unwritten commentary. Just as the gate of a domain is a passageway through which one enters and exits, the gates of the person are his sense organs, through which stimuli enters his mind and he reacts to the outside world. Hopefully he doesn't react, but proacts. The skin here, represented by the hands and feet, its principal loci of action, is in fact considered an organ in many biological contexts, no less than the other organs mentioned here. The concept of touching takes place in any area of the skin. David must protect himself from looking at women forbidden to him, speaking in a foul or malicious manner, walking to commit a sexual sin. Thus, a person must position judges and policemen at each of these gates in order to protect himself from looking at women forbidden to him, listening to untoward matters, speaking in a foul or malicious manner, smelling the perfume of a woman that is forbidden to him, touching such a woman, or walking to commit a sexual sin, or walking to theaters or circuses. This is why your gates is phrased in the singular, in order to indicate to you the above teaching. When a person guards his gates from sin, it is said of him, "Open up, O gates, that a righteous man may enter." Measure for measure. Furthermore, the 310 worlds destined for every righteous person will open their gates for him, for every world has its entrance gate. The reward is of the same nature as the mitzvah fulfilled. And I am adding, measure for measure in Hebrew is mida keneged mida. This is referring to cause and effect. As said above, perform a mitzvah or follow a negative mitzvah, and the effect relates to the same nature. This also applies to doing a sin. The effect relates to the same sephirah as the sin. Sometimes it is an aspect of the same body part. The Mishnah begins. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi said, "The Holy One, blessed be He, will in the future bequeath every righteous individual 310 worlds, as it is written, who bequeath substance to my beloved, and I will fill their storehouses." The numerical value of the word for substance, yesh, yud shin, is 310. That the word yesh is part of the name of Yeshem. Yesh means there is. Yesh is a word for a substance, for physicality, for being able to know what you perceive and making sure what you perceive is good for you. Continuing to read. "Know as well that on the path from here to heaven, there are all sorts of accusing angels and angels of destruction. And there are a number of gates to each of the seven heavens, each of which is guarded. When the soul ascends, it is inspected. It is worthy. The gates are opened for it, and it is permitted to enter. If it is not, it is pushed outside. The gates are closed before it, and it is not allowed to enter. For this reason, every intelligent person should take this teaching to heart while he is still alive and still in control of guarding his gates, as we said above. He will then merit to have the gates of righteousness open before him, as we have said. The accusing angels and the angels of destruction are the corresponding elements to judges and policemen on the side of evil. The accusing angels tally off the individual sin, multiple, plural, sins, which were brought about by not properly guarding his gates, and the angels of destruction cause the ascending soul to suffer accordingly. The seven heavens are listed in the Talmud, in the book of Haggigah. The seventh, the lowest heaven, is Aravot, which translates as darkness. The sixth, the next higher heaven, Machon, translates as a residence. The fifth, the next higher heaven, Meon, translates as habitation. Fourth, the next higher heaven, Zevul, translates as dwelling. The third, the next higher heaven, Shechachim, translates as dust. The next higher heaven, Rakia, translates as firmament. The first, the highest heaven, is Wilon, which translates as a curtain. In Rakia, we get additional information, but the descriptions are really quite different. I'm presenting them to you so that you will begin to understand and discern between clear explanations and knowing when something is right, when something is incorrect. The Lone, or Arachel, is the first heaven governed by the Archangel Gabriel. It is the closest of the heavenly realms to the earth. It is also considered the abode of Adam and Eve. Rakia, the second heaven, is duly controlled by Zachariel and Raphael. It is in this heaven that Moses, during his visit to paradise, encountered the angel Nuriel, who stood 300 parasangs high, with a retinue of 50 myriads of angels, all fashioned out of water and fire. Also, Rakia is considered the realm where the fallen angels are imprisoned and the planets are fastened. Shechikim, the third heaven under the leadership of Anael, serves as the home of the Garden of Eden and the Tree of Life. It is also the realm where manna, the holy food of angels, is produced. The second book of Hanukkah, meanwhile, states that both paradise and hell are accommodated in Shechakim, with the hell being located simply on the northern side. Meon, the fourth heaven, is ruled by the Archangel Michael, and according to the Talmud, in Haggigah 12, it contains the heavenly Jerusalem, the temple, and the altar. Makon, the fifth heaven, is under the administration of Samach Mem. It is also where the Ishim and the song uttering choirs reside. Zevul, the sixth heaven, falls under the jurisdiction of Sakhiel. Aravot, the seventh heaven, under the leadership of Cassia, is the holiest of the seven heavens, because it houses the throne of Hashem, attended by the seven archangels, and serves as the realm in which Hashem dwells. Underneath the throne itself lies the abode of all unborn human souls. It is also considered the home of the seraphim, the cherubim, and the hayot. And I am adding, here is a link to the video that's on the Daily Zohar from Zion Nefesh that relates to the seven lands, which usually is referring to the seven kings of Edom before there was a king in Israel. This relates to the seven earths and the seven types of entities referred to as UFOs. These seven lands and entities are part and parcel connected to the study of the seven heavens. Further on, the Torah commands, if something be too complicated for you to judge, whether it be between two types of blood, or two different cases, or types of plagues, or an argument in your gates, go up to the place that Hashem your God has chosen, actually will choose. The place that God will choose refers to the site of the temple in Jerusalem, where the high court, the Sanhedrin, met. They are the final judicial authority of the Torah. According to our sages, this verse alludes to an exchange between the ministering angels and the Holy One, blessed be He, when the temple was being destroyed. I am adding, this takes significant contemplation. Is there anything impossible for Hashem? Of course not. Some evaluations are difficult because they are similar and close decisions. When Hashem destroyed the temple, and not the people, the evaluation was close. Contemplate this deeply. The mitzvot of the Torah are a description of the ways, the customs, and or the behaviors of Hashem. The following exchange is based on the idea that He declares His words to Jacob, His judgments to Israel. Or the mitzvot of the Torah are a description of the ways, the customs, and or the behavior of Hashem in some abstract or spiritual way. He Himself performs all the mitzvot in the Torah and commands us to do the same, simply in order that we emulate Him. When the temple was destroyed, according to the accusations of the angels in this exchange, Hashem transgressed a number of His own mitzvot, so to speak. Begin. Master of the world, You wrote in Your Torah, when You shed its blood, You must cover the blood with dirt. In this case, however, it is written, God, the nations have come into Your inheritance. They have defiled Your holy temple. They have laid Jerusalem in heaps. They have given the dead bodies of Your servants to be food to the birds of the sky, the flesh of Your pious ones to the beasts of the earth. They have shed their blood like water around Jerusalem, and there was no one to bury them. For the blood that she shed is still in her. She set it upon a bare rock. She did not pour it out on the ground to cover it with earth. You wrote in Your Torah, you shall not slaughter an animal and its young on the same day. In this case, however, it is written, mothers and babies were dashed to death together. You wrote in Your Torah, and the priest shall command that they empty out the house. In this case, however, it is written, they burned the house of God and tore down the walls of Jerusalem, burned down all its mansions and consigned all its precious objects to destruction. And God answered them, is there any peace in the world? Then, since there is no peace, there is nothing. Mothers and babes. The verse quoted here is the one used in the Midrashic passages on which this citation is based. Consigned to destruction. When a house is about to be declared defiled by reason of a plague, having attacked its walls, the officiating priest is required to direct those present to first empty the house of all its movable items. This is in order that they not fall under the same declaration of impurity. as the house he is about to sentence. For if they would, it would be necessary to purify them or to destroy them. If they could not be purified, as is the case with earthenware vessels. We see from this law that God is concerned with not causing unnecessary monetary loss to any child of Israel. Peace is the vessel for all blessing. It is stated in this Mishnah that peace is the vessel for all blessing, meaning that without peace, there is no point in Hashem bestowing his blessing on the world. For inasmuch as there is no vessel to contain it, it will just dissipate. We are taught specifically that it was the second temple that was destroyed on account of the causeless hatred amongst the Jewish people, whereas the first temple was destroyed on account of other sins. Yet the verses quoted all refer to the destruction of the first temple, which occurred during biblical times, while that of the second temple was post-biblical. However, the same sorts of suffering occurred in the second destruction, and there's also no reason to assume that the verses referring to the first destruction do not refer prophetically to the second destruction as well. All this is hinted to in the verses quoted above as follows. It's complicated for you to judge whether it be between two types of blood. This refers to the angel's query regarding why God did not follow his own law regarding shedding blood, but did not cover the blood with dirt. Jerusalem is a city that is altogether united, or two different cases. This refers to the angel's query regarding why God did not follow his own law regarding not slaughtering an animal and its young on the same day. Or types of plague. And this refers to the angel's query regarding why God did not follow his own law regarding saving property and possessions. The answer to the angels is alluded to in the next phrase. An argument in your gates. Arguments and lack of peace bring all this about. The verse then concludes. Go up to the place where Hashem your God will choose, for Jerusalem is the city that is altogether united. In it all become friends. This before the temple. Jerusalem existed before the temples were destroyed, of course. So what is meant here is obviously more than a physical ascent to the physical city of Jerusalem. Rather, what is meant is an ascent to the ideals embodied in the idealized vision of Jerusalem as the center of the Torah and the divine revelation on earth. And this is embodied in the name Jerusalem, which means Yerushalayim, Yerushalem, total awe, or the awe of completeness, or absolute awareness of being in the presence of Hashem. There is a commentary that was written on this document. It's an anonymous comment. Protecting yourself for peace. No wonder why so many in the world, not understanding exactly what the mitzvot lead to, have brought so much pain among the families of the world. These teachings should be applied to each individual throughout each individual family and would end up on the rest of humanity. But since it is interpreted literally, not in a deep spiritual meaning, everyone is so dysfunctional concerning peace among nations. The plague of division and anger comes from jealousy, the worst poison of them all, and it is transformed into this plague of devouring, like insects, which devours and destroys. And that spreads so quickly and brings anxieties, depression, and pain on the victim as well as on the causer, throughout the families and lately on the world. This grudge's vindictiveness has been nonstop for thousands of years. Until we learn how to love, the world will continue its down course. One cause brings the effect. When people accept their responsibility instead of pointing at others as the problem, peace will commence. When people, I am the cause of strife and peace, when people realize that they, meaning I am the cause of strife, peace will begin in this physical world. End of our class. Are there any questions? Tomorrow is Yom Kippur Katan, as I mentioned. It's a good day to study the Zohar. It's a good day to read Shir HaShirim. It's a good day to begin your process of Teshuvah. Tomorrow night is Rosh Chodesh Aleph of the month of Elul. We will make our connections to Rosh Chodesh Elul, which will end as we go into Shabbat. Starting on the second day, which is a Shabbat, so it's put over to the third day, Sunday, we will begin Slichot, the cleansing process of providing, preparing ourselves for Rosh Hashanah and the 10 days of awe. Does anyone have any questions? Our Slichot will be performed at 7 a.m. West Coast time, starting this coming Sunday and every day thereafter. We're doing a lot of spiritual work. We're doing a lot of spiritual study. Don't make yourself crazy. The sight of the fact that you can only do what you are capable of doing. Yes, push yourself, strengthen yourself, do more. But always keep in mind that idea of balance. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom.
Shalom.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Thank you. It was a very good lesson.
I'm glad we can understand it, because I'm not sure I do.
Well, you know how we were questioning the angels, and there was a lot about the angels and then the levels of heaven. I mean, this one had a lot to contemplate, but it was good. I definitely have to reread it, but it was really good. I was pleased to see all that about the angels, though. You know, I questioned about the angels last week, so I'm not surprised. Ask and you receive.
No.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.